Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, July 11th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 39, the second paragraph, Fred is a partner, and we're going to read that one paragraph only and talk about Fred and ourselves. Today, the readers are the 12 Steps, Anne Marie M., the 12 Traditions, Donna W., and the readers of the text are Kathy Jo P., and Donna W. is doing double duty today. Thank you, Donna. The share ID for Wednesday, July 10th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,134. That's 13134. And for the Thursday, July 11th, 7 a.m. meeting is 13,142. That's 13142. Newcomer greeter is Nan K. And announcements is Janice P.M. Overeaters Anonymous, this is the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Anne Marie M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Anne Marie.
Hey, thanks, Mo. This is Anne Marie M., compulsive overeater, gratefully abstinent through God's grace, the 12 steps of OA. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne Marie M., and I will now ask Donna W. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. Good morning, Mo. Donna W. calling in from Palo Alto, California. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, the loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or loan the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Atas.
Well, thank you, Donna W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And that's the star 1 button, not the mute button on your phone. Thank you. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 39. Starting with the second paragraph, we're going to talk about Fred. Fred is a partner, and would just be reading that one paragraph only. And I'm now going to ask Kathy Jo P. to get us started. Good morning, Kathy Jo.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. Fred is a partner in a well-known accounting firm. His income is good, he has a fine home, is happily married, and the father of promising children of college age. He has so attractive a personality that he makes friends with everyone. If ever there was a successful businessman, it is Fred. To all appearance, he is a stable, well-balanced individual, yet he is alcoholic. We first saw Fred about a year ago in a hospital where he had gone to recover from a bad case of jitters. It was his first experience of this kind, and he was much ashamed of it. Far from admitting he was an alcoholic, he told himself he came to the hospital to rest his nerves. The doctor intimated strongly that he might be worse than he realized. For a few days, he was depressed about his condition. He made up his mind to quit drinking altogether. It never occurred to him that perhaps he could not do so in spite of his character and standing. Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic, much less accept a spiritual remedy for his problem. We told him what we knew about alcoholism. He was interested and conceded that he had some of the symptoms, but he was a long way from admitting that he could do nothing about it himself. He was positive that this humiliating experience, plus the knowledge he had acquired, would keep him sober the rest of his life. Self-knowledge would fix it. Kathy Jo P. here, and I came into OA in the 80s, and I really struggled when I heard people use the word sick. I thought, you know, I really could not embrace that. I used the word, but I did not embrace it. And I believe I used the word to describe other people more than me. And those people most frequently was my family, my mom, my siblings. And I kind of, you know, skimmed it to use it for me. And I did have the self-knowledge, and I had the self-knowledge that I needed to follow this food plan, and I needed not to eat sugar and white flour and between meals. And I pretty much got to my goal weight, which was losing about 80 pounds. But I was not doing the spiritual work, and I was not doing the living problem, which was the depth of my sickness. My sickness is not that I'm allergic just to sugar and other alcoholic foods and food in volume. My sickness is the spiritual malady, the sickness of my soul, the sickness that I get activated when things don't go my way, and then I am in self-will and disaster and damage to myself when I cut off myself from others and God. That's the innermost part of my illness, is that spiritual malady. It's not just what I consume and what goes on my plate. So anyway, eventually I decided I got this one and I don't need to be here anymore. And I left OA. And within 3 days, I ate sugar. It was lemonade at first. And within 3 years, I gained 120 pounds. And when I came back to OA 7 years ago, I was 142 pounds overweight. And I'm pretty much certain, once again, I did not want to admit I'm sick. And this time, I didn't want to admit that I was sick with food. I did not want to give up sugar. I thought, you know, somehow or another, I can manage this in moderation or in different forms like maple syrup and honey. But I'm going to tell you all today, I have given up all of my alcoholic foods and I am sick, and I embrace that with gratitude because I have a solution for this sickness, just like a diabetic. And just like a person that has a disease I have where I have to have surgery on my trachea, I embrace this remedy because I have a malady. And the remedy is that I don't consume the things that are alcoholic for me, including volume and eating behaviors, and that I work with all of you every day. And I follow this roadmap so that I can be free. And I'm going to close today by telling you, I had horrible nightmares last night that I ended up reaching out to a fellow this morning in order for me to do my prayer time and get with you all today. I prayed with someone in silence on the phone, and that's a part of my spiritual malady so that I can be free. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Kathy Jo, for getting us started. And I'll just remind everybody, we're on page 39, the second paragraph. Talking about Fred. Fred is a partner. That one paragraph only. And who would like to share?
Lord
Louise H.
Hannah L.
Oh, okay, wait a minute. I heard H. Robin H.
Reggie
Lori O. Louise H.
Janice. O. I got Reggie O. Who else?
Janice PM.
Got you, Janice.
Thank you.
Lori Louise H.
Lori Louise. I got you, Lori Louise. Good. I can take two more.
Mag C.
Got you, Mags. One more.
Deborah
S. I got. The rest of you I'll get on the next time. Okay, here we go. Our lineup. Robin H. Reggie O. Janice PM. Lori Louise H. Mag C. and Devorah S. Robin H. followed by Reggie O. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thank you for your service, and thank you, everybody, for being here. I'm really grateful for these meetings. I'm still a newish comer to OA, and certainly a newish comer to a vision for you. And I'm so grateful for reading and studying and using the big book as directions, not just as like information or a historical document, but really as a textbook, and hearing everybody shares about what is being read is so helpful to me, and it is such a great reminder. This paragraph I've really related to years and years and years ago. I think on the outside, it looked like I had it all. I had a partner. We had just bought a condo. Things were great. I was the director a hospital inpatient unit. Everything looked fantastic. And at some point within about a year of sort of getting all of those things, I can remember having presented to an ER, and the ER doc said, you know, like, I mean, I had fractured a vertebrae because I fell and I was so thin and there was just no padding. And there was no reason that me at that age, that should have happened. And I can remember the ER doc saying, you know, we need to talk. This is the second time you've presented in a couple of months, and it's not okay. And I can remember him saying to me, if you continue doing this, not eating, working out obsessively, he said, he's like, you're going to die. You're going to die within a couple of years. And I, you know, by the grace of God, I didn't die. And I thought, just like Fred did, that, you know, okay, yeah, I can see where he's coming from. Maybe, yeah, sort of get it. And maybe I started to eat a little bit more, and maybe I started to exercise a little bit less. And here I am. And that was in the, I don't even remember, that was more than 20 years ago. And here I am, yes, alive physically and suffering so much spiritually. And I have an active spiritual practice, and I can't, you know, I know I cannot do this. I can't manage it, my illness. And I need to hear people, others say that, because I feel like I'm in the company of people who understand. And one day at a time, I'm recovering. Thank you so much to everybody. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Robin H., Reggie O., followed by Janice P.M. Good morning,
hey, good Reggie. Morning. Hey, good morning, Mo. Great to hear you. And thanks for your service. This is Reggie O., very gratefully recovered in Woodland Hills, just outside Los Angeles. And boy, you know what stood out to me about this paragraph this time is to all appearance. And, you know, I was my highest weight when I was 23 and a four-season athlete, and I weighed over 200 pounds. And I went to grad school for my field, and in that year, I put myself on a food plan, whatever it was, three meals a day, doing certain things, and started running. And I lost everything I needed to lose, and kept it off really for a lot of, you know, kept it off for a lot of years. But I was, you know, but I was crazy. So I didn't have the outward appearance of someone who had this problem. And I was, you know, I was successfully, you know, in my career and doing a lot of things. And I didn't feel good on the inside, I'll tell you that, you know, the spiritual malady, the doubts, the fears, all of those things, I lived with them constantly. But at some point, I realized that I looked good on the outside. And I thought, wow, as long as I look good on the outside, I've got it all together. And over the years, you know, over the years, I came to find that that was like, in some respects, it was a gift, but it was also quite a burden to wear. You know, I've got to keep up this looking good thing all the time. And, you know, and I did that. If I was having a bad time, I would just hide. No one would ever know about it. You know, the next thing that stands out for me, and I was crazy with my eating. I was a long distance runner. I knew how many miles to run to do the extra calories. But at one point the weight started coming back. You know, I gained like about 23 pounds, and I knew I was in trouble, and that, you know, God intervened, and OA showed up where I didn't know OA existed. But, you know, the next part that gets me, he was positive, you know, that this experience plus the knowledge he had acquired would keep him sober the rest of his life. Self-knowledge would fix it. You know, that has been one of the biggest issues in my recovery, is that self-knowledge would fix it. And I've had the question for me has always been my part, you know, what's my part and what's God's part? Because I do have a part in my recovery. You know, no one else can, you know, take the fork out of my hand or whatever it is. No one else can, you know, make the decision. No one else can work the steps. But I don't remove this I don't remove the compulsion. I don't keep myself free. You know, that is something I could have never done, no matter how much self-knowledge, how many books I read, how much, you know, insight I had. I could never have done that. And it's kind of crazy making, you know, to be filled with all this stuff and on the other side not be able to handle something that's making you crazy, you know, that sometimes people can't even see. God, you know, that greater power is that my work is to, you know, I'm coming, Mo. My work is to do this work, these 12 steps, which promised me to be relieved from this so that a greater power can take over and do the biggest part of the work. Thank you.
Thank you, Radio. Yeah. Janice PM, followed by Lori Louise H. Janice.
Yes, but thank you so much, Mo H, and thank you, everyone. My name is Janice PM, and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Dear old Fred, oh, I want to tell everybody, and I'm sure everybody thought, yeah, I was Fred. I can identify with Fred. I want to be Fred. You know, but of course, after all these decades, I could identify with all of them, but I wanted to be Fred, you know, and I became Fred. You know, I was a partner in the business. Guess who the boss was? My father. So, of course, I picked that business, you know, I became a teacher. And because after all, that was the easiest, soft way. I could do everything. I would be a big shot. I would have arrogant pride, a lot of things, intolerance. Oh, my goodness. However, I also had my external. I was married to a doctor, big thing, doctor's wife. And I never even wanted to bother with them. But anyway, because I was so ashamed and so guilty of my weight, and they were all nice and thin and going to exercise, which I hated. So, you know, the external told me that I did not have a problem. Everything is fine here. Everything is fine, but it wasn't fine. First of all, I was a compulsive overeater, and I thought all these outside things would fix this. So, of course, my self-knowledge. And anytime you see self, you go, uh-oh. You know, alcoholism, that's what it is, isms. I had the isms, the I, the self, the me, trying to do everything. Internally, I was maladjusted to life. I wanted things so much my way, and if I like a spoiled little child, I would make sure, or I would go eat, or I would go buy more clothes, or I would go shopping, or I would gamble. I mean, whatever I had to do to feel better to get that effect. And so that's what isms were. And I had an incredible short memory. See, this was the product of all my emotional immaturities. And that's what it was, getting my way. I had false pride. I was intolerant and impatient. I was shameful, gluttony, lust. Now, how do I know all that? Well, because after many years and doing these steps and applying them to my life, you know, the saying, the hole in the soul. And I didn't know what they were talking about, the hole in the soul. But I know now about the spiritual malady that everybody is talking about. And I'm so glad we're talking about that, because that is the solution, you know, not so much food, but it is food. And with that, you know, that what can the hole in the soul
time.
Can only be filled. Thank you, Mo. Can only be filled with the spirit. And then all this distresses will leave, you know, for the day. And I pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice PM. Lori Louise H., followed by Mag C. Lori Louise, good morning.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks for your service and everybody who puts this call together. I'm hearing a beep. Is that okay?
Okay. I'm hearing that too. So I don't know what that is. But go ahead and keep talking and
okay. We'll
hope it stops.
Right. Well, in this paragraph, what I just keep seeing for myself is the theme of surrender. This line stands out to me. For a few days, he was depressed about his condition. And in my experience, that's saying that it's my feelings determining my level of participation. That when I'm depressed about it, willing to do whatever it takes, but if I'm depending on my feelings and I'm no longer depressed about it because it's like, oh, it's going okay and I'm not depressed, then I'm no longer surrendering. And I have been this person. You know, if I get depressed about it, then I'll take action. If I'm not depressed, I can take over again. Because, you know, this thing about character, it never occurred to him that perhaps he could not do so in spite of his character and standing. Well, if I think my character is sufficient, because I am a good person, I am a smart person, then I think, like at the last sentence, self-knowledge will fix it. And when I think that I'm enough, that self-knowledge will fix it, that my character will fix it, I'm setting myself up for relapse. And I spent, of my 19 years in program, I spent more than 16 of them just in chronic relapse. I would get sometimes a couple of weeks, but in the last many years, I don't think I put together 4 days of abstinence continually. And with God's grace, today will be day 42. So I am grateful, and with the help of God, I am surrendering every day, and with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Lori Louise H. Mag C, followed by Devorah S. Mags.
Hey, thanks, Mo. Can you guys hear me okay? Because I'm on the road.
I can hear you fine. Thank
Good.
You.
Okay, great. All right. Hi, everybody. This is Mags. And I think, you know, for Fred, it's just a great, like, Aesop's fable. I know this is a real story, but it's an Aesop's fable about, like, okay, you can be successful in the eyes of the world and yet still have complete and utter chaos underneath and every other way in your life you can be manageable except that your insides are completely in chaos and you're barely keeping it together. It's like that commercial with the guy with the lawnmower saying, oh, I'm happy, I've got this 3-story house and I am up to my neck in debt. You know, it's kind of like that for me. So when I first came into program, which is about, you know, 17 years ago now, I was basically a control freak and I really needed rigidity in my life because that's how I had run my life, because I knew if I got out of line, you know, somebody would see the bad kid that I really am, or the horrible person that lives underneath this facade of whatever I tried to put on, which was basically, I don't know. I ended up becoming a doctor with my life, and I loved it, and I got great satisfaction taking care of people, and I loved it. But honestly, you guys, I mean, I still have had the same problems. It didn't matter how intelligent I was or how kind I was or compassionate to other people I was, but what mattered most was that on the inside, I wasn't taking care of myself at all. So when the food plan came along and I was suicidal enough with my life, which was in my early 30s, that I actually, like, stooped, okay, I'm using quotations here, stooped to go to any kind of 12-step meeting because, I mean, come on, I'm more intelligent than that. I stooped to go to a 12-step meeting. I'm like, I totally gave over to my sponsor. I got on program. I got on a food plan, and it was amazing. I felt such relief that I didn't have to struggle anymore about what I was going to eat. And as the years have gone by, I honestly don't think about it, because that's almost 2 decades now. I don't even think about being on a food plan. It's just a way of eating anymore, and it's not a diet, and I'm not, you know, group dieting with anybody, but it's a way to give my soul some freedom. And now, and of course, my food plan has changed over the years, and I've had different nutritionists, different sponsors, and I can have things now that I couldn't have before, and I can go to Europe and eat what I want and not go into a crazy, thanks, Mo, a crazy derailing housing. The main thing is for newcomers, it's an onion. There are layers. And I can say that this is a rich and beautiful life that I have now. And somebody said a beautiful orchestra. Let's hear the symphony. And I agree with that completely. Thanks, Mo. That's all I got.
Thanks, Meg. Before we go to Devorah S., I want to remind everybody where we are because we'll be taking a lineup after Devorah. We're on page 39, the second paragraph. Fred is a partner. We're reading that one paragraph only. So now we'll have Devorah S.
Hey, good morning, and thank you, Mo, and thank you, everyone on this line that makes this meeting possible. My name is Devorah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey. And, you know, I really relate to this. You know, on the outside, he looked great. Honestly, I grew up in a home where outside appearances were very important, you know. Being thin, I was a very heavy child, and it was very important. My parents tried everything, every which way to try to get me to lose weight, and that's where I felt very, if I lost weight, then I knew that my parents were happy with me, you know. So, you know, and it continued into my adulthood, you know. My self-worth came from being thin and looking good, but doesn't go very far, very, very far. It's only with this work of this program that I saw how sick I was, you know, with the food, using the food, and also how I was not connected spiritually and I was not working on myself spiritually, although I did come from a religious home and I went to a religious school my whole life. I did not know how to use that God power in my life to help me in all areas. I didn't reach out to God. You know, God was there for other stuff, but it wasn't there for me as a personal God. And so I relate to this where he talks about, you know, self-knowledge and the humiliating experience because, you know, I've had many, many humiliating experiences, you know, as a fat child, you know. My nickname on my block, the kids on my block would call me Bubbles. How humiliating is that? Or, you know, breaking furniture, wondering, you know, standing online in day camp and wondering if, we're online in day camp going horseback riding, and the thoughts in my head is this horse going to be able to hold me up, and how humiliating it will be for me? You know, like, just, it took over, you know, this whole, you know, I was embarrassed. I felt embarrassed with myself. And, but you know what? You know, it just, no matter how many times, even as a child and through adulthood, no matter how many times I promised and, you know, and thought of these experiences, nothing, you know, I couldn't do it, you know. And each time I thought, oh, this is going to do it. This is going to be it. This will be it. Now I know about this kind of diet. Now I know, you know what? You know, the self-knowledge that I know, the things that I know will help me. Nothing ever. It took me, you know, getting in, you know, crawling into this program where I'm 280 pounds, being sick with diabetes and high blood pressure and going from doctor to doctor and really giving up, really surrendering to what I knew and being open to a new solution. And getting clean with the food, you know, getting ready to really put down the substances which were causing me to be sick and obsessed.
Time.
And thank you, God. I'm living in a solution today, and I'm really, really grateful. And I'm sorry I can't continue, but it's a happy ending. Thank you, God. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Devorah S., and I'll now open the lines up for six more people who'd like to share.
Summer D. Summer D.
Summer D. I got you, Summer.
Anna J.
Anna J.
Laura R.
Jim J.
Barry K. B.
Laura J. Was it Laura J.?
Laura R.
Laura R., and then I got you, Sherry.
Jean J.
Jean J. And one more, I think.
Bruce E.
I got you, Bruce. Okay. Hope we can get to you, Bruce. Okay, I got Summer D. I think it was Hannah J. Laura R. Sherry K. B. Jean J., and Bruce E. So Summer D., good morning, Summer.
Thanks, Mo. Good morning, everyone. Summer D., grateful member of this fellowship, Compulsive Overeater in Southern California. Thank everyone for their service, and thank you all for your share so far. You know, this paragraph, I could just, if I just replaced the first, you know, the name, Summer, you know, she's an owner of a business. She's a wife of an amazing man. You know, it didn't matter how much I accomplished. It didn't matter how much I had materially. It was never enough. I didn't know that I was sick. I didn't know that I was predispositioned with the disease of alcoholism when I was in the womb. Food has always been the focal point of my life. Looking good. It was all about how I looked. And you know what? 12% body fat in a Muscle and Fitness magazine article didn't do it. 2 world records in skydiving didn't do it. Nothing over my 53 years of life has done anything for me until I got to these rooms of Vision OA and until I was taken through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous exactly and precisely the way it is written with nothing added. I got to see that I never had the opportunity to, first of all, even know that I had human emotions, but that there was a process and a proven method to work them and to feel them and to get through them. I didn't know that it was a spiritual malady. And I came in these rooms with 15 years of following my current faith. I can quote my faith line by line, word by word. It did nothing for me. It was intellectual. So today I am learning that I have a God that loves me. And that God that loves me has given me intuitive eating. I know the foods that are good for me. I know the foods that are not. And you know what? I was taken through this book very quickly. I just got released to sponsor last week. And you know what? It was powerful. And I know that I have a lot to share and to sponsor. But you know what? Here's what happened. I didn't go to the food, but what I did do, I took on 4 sponsees right away, and my life was already unmanageable. Yesterday, I went to a sister program last night locally here, and I sat in that room, and I was heavy. I was so heavy with what I was hearing because you know what? I've got to be in the solution. I was about to walk away from the rooms of OA Vision because I had it. Let me teach you. I got this book down. I know I could tell you the words. I could, you know, but you know what, Summer, you got to humble yourself. You got to step back and be the student. So here I am. I've released my sponsors. There is more work to do. And all that happened, I was looking to CODA. Thank you. I'm going to wrap with this. I was looking to other programs for the solution. You know what? All that happened was my character defects came alive. I didn't know how to work my steps 10, 11, and 12, but you know what? Thank you, because I have you. I have each and every one of you that gets on this line and shares, and today I can be in the solution. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Summer. Hannah, I'm not sure of your last initial, if you could give it to me. You're next, followed by Laura R. Laurie R. I'm not sure if it's Laura. Anyway, Hannah, press star 1 to unmute. All right. We will move on then to Laura R.
Did you need me to go? This is Laura R.
Yes. Hi, Laura.
Sorry. I was unmuting. Hi, this is Laura R. from Colorado, grateful, recovered, and compulsive overeater. And I am, oh man, I'm looking at this story on Fred, and, you know, it looks like the American dream to me. You know, he's a partner, he has good income, he has a fine home, he's married, you know, promising children, you know, his personality is attractive. And, you know, that's what I always thought I was supposed to have, you know, like what I'm supposed to achieve, what the fellow right before me was talking about, like achievement, achievement, achievement. And I was writing about it today, you know, it's so funny because I was just driven by, you know, ego. And that's what I see in this story, actually, is ego. You know, I mean, he's so ashamed once, you know, he gets beaten down by his disease that he doesn't realize he has, that like me, like this guy of such good standing, you know, who has all this stuff, can be in a hospital. Like, no way, I'm just resting my nerves, you know. And it's so funny because today I am a grateful, recovered alcoholic, compulsive overeater, you know, spender, workaholic. You know, God had to get my attention somehow. And he's like, hey, sister, it's not about you. And I didn't get it. Like, you know, I honestly didn't get it until just recently. I've been sober for 15 years, and I've been trying to get this. Well, yeah, see, there it is. I have been trying to get this disease for over a year. And, you know, it was just recently where I was reading something in the Big Book, which I absolutely love this book because it's constantly teaching me something. And it said, or maybe it was in the 12 and 12, and it said that I had to, you know, we need to rightly relate ourselves to God. And I will do the work. You know, that is not the issue. What I learned is that I was starting to idolize the steps, and I was starting to idolize my ability to do them, and I was starting to idolize you know, just all the work instead of idolizing the creator that made them so I can get closer to him. And it's just like, oh my gosh. So again, you know, in the book, it says that we're in the world to play the role he assigns, not the role that I think I should have for myself, which is, again, I want the car, the house, the job, the husband, the kids, you know, the way it's supposed to look. And God's like, I have different plans for you. Guess what? You're going to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous and Overeaters Anonymous, and you're going to be carrying the message to other people. This isn't about you anymore. And, you know, thank you, God, that I know that. And thank you, God, that I kept coming back. And thank you, God, that I hope to keep coming back, because I have just scratched the surface of a little itty-bitty piece of what it feels like to be free. And, you know, today I do feel neutral in the food, but more importantly, like, and it's so, food's boring. Like, if you're still in the food, oh my God, there's so much more to be had. Like, because all we think about when we're in the food is me. And I am so, it is exhausting and annoying, and I just kind of like want to puke. But what's so cool, thank you, I'll wrap up with this, is that when we finally get that spiritual experience, what I want to think about is you and God and how I can be useful. And that, then my world opens up into such a beautiful place to be. So with that, I can pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Laura R. Is Hannah L. back on the line? And if not, we'll go to Sherry KB, followed by Jean J. Go ahead, Sherry.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Mo, and everybody on the line. I love the story about Fred. I'm just going to jump right in here. I really believe that the word fairies come into this book at night and put more words and paragraphs and sentences and whatnot in here. And then, you know, I read it again, and I've been through this book so much, and yet things still jump out at me, and I'm so grateful for those word fairies that come in at night in this book. So, you know, to all appearances, he is stable, well-balanced individual, yet he is alcoholic. You know, I would never concede in my innermost thoughts that I thought I was a compulsive overeater for decades. And, you know, because everything else looked okay in my life. You know, I thought I was okay. I had a good life. Things looked good on the outside, you know, appearances looked okay, and my life seemed okay, and yet I had this secret, you know, of compulsive overeating, even to myself. I didn't want to even concede to my innermost self that I had this disease, and, you know, I avoided doctors that would tell me about my weight. I didn't want to hear it. I wouldn't even get on the scale, you know, for them to give me a hard time about my weight. I refused to get on the scale. You know, that I never occurred to me that perhaps that I could not do so in spite of my character and standing, because I thought I had the strongest will and that I could will myself through anything. You know, that's what I believed in myself. And so I was always strong willing this disease. And this disease, there is no, I can't even, I look at it now and I couldn't even I can't believe that all these years I was trying to fight this disease by myself with my self-will, and I have a spiritual problem, so why on earth would I think that I could do this myself? Because, see, everything around me would always say, hey, sure, you're strong, you can do it, I know you can, you can do this, you've got this thing. And, you know, when people tell me today when they've got this thing, I tell them they're scaring the heck out of me. And just want to say that here when it says that this is what got me is, okay, so he was interested and conceited. He had to concede to his innermost self. And, you know, conceited in the Big Book Dictionary, and by the way, if you don't have it, I would get it. It's fabulous. It says admit, agree with, accept, acknowledge, to show, although often against one's will, that one agrees or to or with something. So in other words, who wants to agree that I'm a compulsive overeater? I really don't want to concede to myself that, but I have to admit complete defeat before I can get spiritual help, before I rely on my higher power. And I just want to say the knowledge that he acquired would keep him sober the rest of his life. Self-knowledge, there it is again, thinking I can figure it out. Thank you, and I pass. Without my higher power, no way.
Yeah. Thank you, Sherry KB. Jean J, followed by Bruce E. Jean J, press star 1 to unmute.
Got me now?
Yes, got you now.
Okay.
Hear you.
All right.
Hear you good. Okay.
All right, thanks. This is Jean in Portland, Oregon. The line that struck me here is that where the doctor thought that Fred might be worse than he realized. And, you know, I often told myself through the years, you know, for a smart gal, you really don't get it, do you, Jean? And frankly, I don't know how smart I was or am. So the idea of wrapping my mind around the fact that I'm a first-class junkie, that I am an addict, has been a real tough one. I think in part food is so beguiling. You know, it's legal down there at the store and such, and so that's part of it. But the other part is a twisted protective mechanism where just like I have had this idea of myself as someone that could bulldoze her way through life, you know, just force and apply more effort and I could make it work. And of course I didn't fool anybody, and the universe over and over again said, Jean, honey, this ain't working for you, is it? And I refused, you know, it was just the pain of hearing that was horrible. So I just grabbed more to eat. And we just have a real nuanced, formidable, tricky condition here. And I so relate to Fred's experience. And with that, I will pass. This is Jean in Portland, Oregon, abstinent and working the program and feeling hopeful today.
Well, thank you, Jean J. And Bruce E., you'll be our last share for today. We got you in there. Bruce E., star 1 to unmute.
Well, thank you. I'm here, Mo. Thank you. Didn't know you were going to get me in at the last minute here. That's great. Thank you, everybody that's on the line, especially those doing service. Yeah, Fred's story is really neat and interesting. Yeah, I read these stories 30 years ago in a big book, and I thought, well, that's amusing. Yeah, that's amusing. That's neat. Okay. Now, studying it as a student of the big book now, I can see that I was Fred. Yeah, I was. I imagine all of us have been there and at one point. Even in the program, going to one meeting a week, being Fred, working on a career, things are going well, raising kids, doing all of this, trying to think I'm on a food plan. And about every week or every 2 weeks or every 3 weeks, blowing it. you know, blowing the food plan, you know, and then get, well, I'm doing good in my job. I'm doing good in my career. I'm making money. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And trying to wish away this food problem that was there all the time. So then he heard this, and he thinks Fred hears this, and he's, you know, these guys took time to sit down and talk to him about this. And sure enough, this guy thinks, oh, well, now I got it. You know, they've explained it to me. I figured this thing out, you know. Self-knowledge. Yeah, that's it. And that's all part of the ego, too, I think. But he thought he could do it with self-knowledge. But if you're really an addict, which I am, this addiction will beat you back into submission. You know, it'll bring you back in, usually. You know, some go out and die out there. I know that. But, you know, it brought me into the program. And so, yeah, two words of wisdom here, two bits of information and wisdom, using wisdom here, is blessed are the flexible, for they don't get bent out of shape. Blessed are the flexible, for they don't get bent out of shape. So if the emotions come out, don't get it bent out of shape. And also, if you see a trigger, don't pull it. So food was always, you know, I was pulling that food trigger and pulling that food trigger and pulling that. No, not anymore. See, if I never thought I could do this. I never thought I could get by without pulling that food trigger. I just finally, my sponsor said, you're going to have to put it down. I didn't pull the trigger, and I put it down. I'm recovered now. Thank you. I pass.
And thank you very much, Brucey. That'll be our last share for today. Great, great, great meeting once again. So I want to thank all those who shared and those who gave service. Anne Marie M., Donna W., Kathy Jo P., Nan K. will be our newcomer greeter, and Janice P.M. will be the announcements. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Donna W. please read a vision for you?
Hi, this is Donna W. calling in from Palo Alto, California. Grateful for my abstinence and recovery for today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.